Many people are looking for something. They're looking for the answer in drugs. They're looking for the answer in relationships. They're looking for the answer in wealth. They're looking for the answer in all the wrong places. And they're going around and they're doing what? Jesus is right there. Jesus is right in front of them. And they're tripping over him. And he's becoming a...
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Rock of Ages. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Rock of Ages.
We turn to everything else except him. And Jesus says, I'm right here. The one song said, he's been there all the time. He's been there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He's been there all the time. That while you go and you stumble over him time after time after time, he stays right there. Is he your stumbling stone? No, you're stumbling over something right now. You know, I know people that keep doing the same thing, the same way, and they get the same results, which is something negative. And I think in my mind, when are you going to find out that your way don't work? When are you going to come to the conclusion that your way is not working? You are trying to go here, you're trying to go there, and you're stumbling all over Jesus the whole time. And you wonder why you get frustrated. You wonder why things are not going right in your life. You wonder why you're angry, bitter, and it's because you're trying to do it your own way, and you're stumbling over Jesus. Don't let Jesus be your stumbling stone. Let him be as we go on and talk about the rest of this message. So I pray today that Jesus is not the snub stone in your life. I pray that he's not the stumbling stone in your life. But as we move on, I pray that he would be these upcoming stones that we're going to talk about. And the first thing that we want to talk about is that he is the salvation stone. He is the salvation stone. Notice what David said in Psalm 40 and verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my going. That God has taken us out of the miry clay of sin. Whenever we find ourselves, and especially before salvation, that we were sinking in sin. But what did God do? God reached down and he took us up out of that slime pit. He took us up out of that muddy pit. And look what he says here. He set my feet on a rock. The Lord delivered him, set his feet. But not only do that, did he do that? But he pointed him in the right direction. You know, when I think about the salvation rock, and this whole verse right here is talking about deliverance. David is talking about deliverance. Behold, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. A horrible pit. Can you imagine what a horrible pit is? You know, a horrible pit is one where there's manure. A horrible pit. A horrible pit is one where there is all type of waste products. A horrible pit. David said that he brought me up out of a horrible pit. And, you know, some of us grew up in the church. And praise God for that. Thank God that we were able to grow up and be in the house of God and not fall off into sin. But you know what? There's some that came out of a horrible pit. A pit that was filled with all type of waste products and slime and sludge and mess. David said, he brought me up out of that pit and he set my feet on a rock. And you know, if I was writing a verse, I might throw something in there and I might say that he gave me a bath before he set me up on the rock. That he washed me in his blood before he set me upon a rock. And then he pointed me in the right direction. I was headed the wrong way. In this pit, God was over this way. He took me out of the pit, and instead of letting me keep walking that way, deeper and deeper in the pit, he took me up, and he turned me around. And he pointed me in the right direction. And so we have found that Jesus is a rock in a weary land. In a weary land. A shelter in the time of a storm. The songwriter said, I would not be a sinner. And I tell you the reason why. I'm afraid the Lord might call my name and I wouldn't be ready to lie. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land, a shelter in the time of the storm. I often wonder, we did a lesson on Wednesday in Bible study where we were talking about atheists, and we were talking about atheism. And I wonder, you know, people who say that they don't believe in God, people who say they have cast God off, that whenever they find themselves in that pit, whenever they find themselves sinking in the pit, who do they call to help them get out? You can't help man. Man can't help you get out of that pit. But you have alienated yourself from God. You have turned away from God. And so God can help you, but you don't want him to help you. And you won't let him help you. And so therefore, he can't be that salvation rock to individuals who have turned their back on him. Thank God if we have salvation, that we can all testify that he took us up out of the pit and put us on solid ground and start us walking in the right direction. The next thing we see is that he is our strengthening rock. He is our strengthening rock. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Wow. That when I feel a sense of being overwhelmed, because, and I've been sharing, you know, for people, asking people to pray for me, because I know that I have a tendency to get overextended and just too many things going on. And I know when I get to that point, I know the frustration that I feel. And I know the sense of, man, just not enough hours in the day. And you begin to get frustrated, and you feel like life is just taking you over, and you feel like you're on a merry-go-round. And on this merry-go-round, I mean, you can see the things that you need to do to get off, but you can't get off. And it just keeps going round and around and around, and then you almost start getting frustrated. You get anxious, and you begin to say, when is it going to stop? When can I get off? And that's the way David was feeling. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, when life feels like a merry-go-round that I can't get off, lead me to the rock that is higher than high. Sometimes you just need somebody that's bigger than your circumstances, that you might be drowning in the circumstances of your life. Issues on your job, issues in your family, issues in your community, issues in your church, they just overwhelm you. And you need something that's higher than you. You know, I shared the illustration that when my kids were growing up, we had gone to church one Sunday, and we lived in an apartment complex where they had a swimming pool. And so my kids wanted to go swimming. And I took them swimming afterwards, but they were in a hurry, so I had my suit on, and I still was dressed up from church. And so they were swimming, and I told them to stay, you know, in the shallow end. But my son Daniel, he was staying in the shallow end most of all, but he started wandering in the deep end. And just about the time that I caught him, he had gone where the water was over his head. And he started fighting the water. And guess what? suit and all, shoes. I jumped in the water and lifted him up. And I thought to myself, what did he need? He just, you know, now I'm not a swimmer either, so I can't swim. But guess what? I was taller than the water. Right? I was taller than the water. And so all he needed was somebody that was taller than the water that could lift him up out of it. And you know, saints, that's what we need sometimes. When we are drowning and overwhelmed in this life, I thank God that he is a rock and that he can set us upon himself, and praise God that he's higher than we are and we can stand strong. You know, and we need to find ways when we are overwhelmed to just cry out. I mean, even if you just holler out, God, help me. Get me off of this merry-go-round. And, you know, sometimes I just have to stop. You know, sometimes I just have to stop. And I have to, you know, I hate to do it, but sometimes I have to cancel something and say, look, I got to stop, man. I got to stop. I got to get to the rock that's higher than I. And just to spend time in his presence. And again, help ask God, help me align my priorities so I don't find myself being overwhelmed. I don't find myself being consumed by life. And there are many people. That's where you are right now. You are that way with a lot of things. And even it could be overwhelming, even with kids or grandkids, just having a sense of being overwhelmed. Sometime in the midst of that, we got to pray, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I can't deal with this myself. He's a strengthening rock. Next, we see that he's a satisfying rock. He's a satisfying rock. As the Israelites journeyed through the wilderness, God provided water for them to drink from a rock. Exodus 17 and verse 6. As we look at the New Testament, oh man, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. That Christ was the one who nourished and fed them in the wilderness. Christ was their source of refreshment. And so we have to ask ourselves, is Christ our satisfying rock? Is he your satisfying rock? Do you need Jesus and this, and this? Or is Christ your satisfying rock? Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He gives me strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I'm sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my satisfying rock. Mick Jagger asked the question, or made the statement, I can't get no satisfaction. And the reason that you can't find satisfaction in this life is because satisfaction isn't to be found in this life. There's only one place that you're going to find ultimate satisfaction, and that is in Jesus Christ. But yet and still, the world will tell us that Christ, you know, it's interesting in preparing for this series that I'm getting ready to do in May and June, just reading a lot of stuff and being exposed to a lot of atheists and evolutionist ideas, that one of the things that they rail against Christians for is saying that Jesus is just a crutch. And not only that, but I've even read some literature where someone said, well, you know, Christians invented Jesus so that they could have somebody to lean on. And so, you know, the world is looking for satisfaction out there. But we can find satisfaction in Jesus. And think about this, that, you know, the people, the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness. They complained, and God told Moses to hit the rock. And as he hit the rock, and, I mean, speak to the rock. And as he spoke to the rock, you know, the water came out. And that nourished them. And that nourished them that time in the wilderness. And so what are you looking for to nourish you? Where do you find your nourishment at? Where do you nourish your soul? You see, we are made of two components, material and immaterial. And some people say that our immaterial is either soul and spirit, or it's just all one. But the fact is that we nourish our physical with food. We eat, we drink, we nourish our body. What are you nourishing your soul with? Are you feeding your soul off of the husk of this earth? Are you eating the garbage of this world? Is that what you are putting in your soul? Somebody said, well, I'm too busy to be satisfied with Jesus. I got too much other stuff going on. And sometimes that's the reason that we get frustrated. And that's the reason that we feel overwhelmed, is because we're not taking time to satisfy our soul. We're not taking time to nourish our soul. We're not taking time to drink the water that's coming out of the rock. Jesus satisfies. And I like what I heard one songwriter say, I am satisfied with Jesus. He's done so much for me. He has suffered to redeem me. He died to set me free. I am satisfied with Jesus, but the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is my Savior satisfied with me? So it's a two-way street. We can be satisfied with Jesus, but is Jesus satisfied with us? And then finally, this morning, we see that Christ is the sheltering rock. He is the sheltering rock. In Psalm 31 and verse 2, bow down thy ear to me, the psalmist cries out to the Lord. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my rock for a house of defense to save me. The psalmist wanted God to be a rock, a house of defense to save him. Is he the place that you run? Is he the place that you go to when the enemy is after you? Is he the place that you go to when it seems like all the forces of hell are coming against you? Where do you go when it seems like you're under attack? Do you run to the rock? Because he's able. Yeah, I go to the rock. You know, one thing that we need to realize is this, is that Satan and all of his demons realize that he can't touch us because God has a rock around us. God has put his protection around us. You say, well, Pastor, now where do you find that at? All right, the book of Job. When Satan wanted to come against Job, and he said, I would come against him, but what, you have put a hedge around him. And Satan can't touch you. Satan can't mess with you because God got a hedge around you. He can't do anything to you. I mean, even sickness, finances, whatever the case might be, God has a hedge of protection. And Satan can't get in there unless God allows him, that he is my sheltering rock. He asked God to be his strong rock or a house of defense. Franny Crosby, who was blind, and she wrote many of the hymns that we sing today. And she said, a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. There's something wrong with this picture here in this song. There's something wrong. Something drastically wrong. She said that he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. How can you see anything? You are blind. But yet and still she writes that when she's in the cleft of the rock, she can see. See, it's one thing to have sight, but it's another thing to have vision. And she had vision. And she could see that by being in the cleft of the rock was the best place for her to be, because it was in that cleft where she could see the rivers of pleasure that God had provided for her. And some of us are walking around, we have 20/20 vision. And they say that 20/20, there's even a better vision now than 20/20. And some of y'all got better than 20/20. And you can see, but you don't have vision. Would to God that he would help us to go beyond our sight and to be able to see what others cannot see, to see the protection. You remember when the Assyrians were coming after Elisha, and they were going to do him in. And his servant said, look at all the chariots. Look at all the soldiers all around us. There's no way to get out. And Elijah said, there are more for us than there are for them. This guy said, man, you done lost your mind. You got to be the biggest fool. What, are you crazy? And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw all of God's servants, all God's angels in the hills. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we got to be able to see beyond this earthly vision and be able to see what God is doing and how God is protecting us. You ever think about how many times that you could have been in an accident, or how many times something could have happened and God protected you and you didn't even know it? The songwriter said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's been grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Yeah, it's going to be amazing when we get to heaven. And I believe, you know, we're going to have eternity to spend with God. And I believe one of the things that God's going to do, he's going to show us our life and show us all those times that he protected us, that we should have been gone. But God allowed, and I like the way they used to say it back in the day, God allowed our golden moments to roll on for a little while longer. That your golden moments have rolled on because of God. You go to that last slide. There was a little boy who was stuck out on a rock. And they did everything they could to try to get him. And he was out there for hours. The waves were crashing against the rock. The water was overwhelming him. And after a while, somebody was able to get out there and rescue him. And they got the little boy and they began to talk to him. And they said, how did you feel when you were out there? He said, I was scared. He said, I was frightened. He said, but I held on to the rock and the rock didn't move. And I'm telling you, in life, that we might have some desperate situations. We might have some overwhelming situations. But hold on to the rock of ages, that he's not going to move.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of We Might Wobble, But We Don't Fall Down. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Rock of Ages, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Rock of Ages. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Rock of Ages. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.